Hello, and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, weekly advice for the working stiff. I'm Chris DeSantis, and let me introduce my co-host, starting with Q's, the quintessentially quotable queen of advice, Mary Abajay.
Chris DeSantis, again, that was outstanding. I am the queen of advice, and yes. I am quotable sometimes.
You are.
I love it. Thank you. Hello, everybody. I am the queen of advice, Mary Abajay, and I would like to introduce you to my co-host, the quirky, also the quotable, but most importantly, the quick-witted Mr. Chris DeSantis.
Hello.
Hello. Now, of course, I've set you up to have to be funny for this.
I know I have to be funny. Okay, I have to be funny. No jokes. I don't tell jokes.
No jokes. People on stage, Chris DeSantis is the funniest presenter I have ever seen. Not only is his stuff amazing, but you literally, like if you sit in a presentation that Chris is doing, the audience is laughing. They're holding their sides laughing because he is so funny. It's brilliant. You're quick-witted.
I really appreciate hearing that. Quick-witted. It's nice to say.
So, Chris.
Yeah.
Today's episode is about power dynamics.
Yes.
And to that end, I have shifted the power of this podcast because listeners, Chris is going to have to answer three questions that he has not seen before. I have not shared the questions with him. He has no idea what they're about except some sort of a power in situation. So that's the first thing I've done to him today. The second thing, are you ready, Chris? And this is a surprise. He does not know I'm about to tell him. You are going up in your answers against ChatGPT.
Oh, no way.
Yes. We are going to see.
Wow, that's crazy.
Who gives better advice, you or ChatGPT? Who has the power of the quotable answers? So how we'll do this is I will ask the question. You will have the first shot at answering it. Then I will tell you, I will share with you what ChatGPT said to do, and then we can discuss what Chat
then you
got
tell
right.
me where you sit with it. Right.
I will. I'm going to tell
that's
you.
So interesting.
I'm going to tell you, and then our listeners can tell us who gave better advice, you or ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Which might put us. I'm going to tell you, some of their answers are pretty good. They may be putting us out of business.
And just so the listener knows, ChatGPT is part of an AI program. Of course, I'm sure everyone's familiar with this, but you can ask it questions and it gives you paragraph form answers.
Yeah. And when I did it, I was like, I don't like that answer. Regenerate. And it will regenerate. It's usually the same thing over and over, like different way of saying it. But I also, when I was playing around with it, I asked ChatGPT, how do you manage up? I wanted to see if ChatGPT was going to steal like my managing up stuff.
It did.
It stole some of it. But then somebody else sent me, they said, tell me about Mary Abajay and her book Managing Up. And it gave some information. So you should try it on you.
Well, I also know this because I've had friends who've looked at this. It makes up stuff about people.
It does.
It does. It makes up stuff. It'll say things. It could tell you that you went to this place, or you live there, or this. It just makes stuff up.
So,
one of the challenges with this is what is actually true.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
But it's funny because when I was doing it to go up against you, I would be like, re-answer that and being more empathetic. And it's really funny to listen to read what AI, when they're empathetic, they would start answering like, this sounds like it must be really tough for you.
Okay, are you going to cue me in on how I answer it as well or just answer it?
What do you mean?
Okay. Are you going to tell me we're going for an empathetic answer or we're going for a harsh answer?
You're just
going
for however you want to do it. All right. So let me pull up the questions. I cannot wait to hear.
Let's see how this goes. I hope it goes.
All right. I think it'll go. Chris, if you can't beat artificial intelligence.
Well, it's like, what was the chess player that went up against the Deep Blue?
Who was that? Was not Boris Batsky. That was the famous chess player.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I can't remember.
Chris will look it up for us.
Chris will look it up for us and I'll forget to answer and look for it. All right. So are you ready for the first round one? Chris DeSantis versus ChatGPT. So excited for this. Plus, quite frankly, it was easier for me. All right. Ready. Question number one. All right. Oh, by the way, Chris, the question we're about to hear is from somebody in Northern Ireland. It's one of our first,
no way,
maybe our second international question. Yeah. Northern and I'm going Ireland. To Ireland.
Okay, do it in an Irish accent.
Oh my gosh. All right. I can't. I could do it in a Scottish accent. Ach, hi, lassie. Greetings. All right, you ready? Greetings. Yes. I'm a 23-year-old who recently landed my dream job in the childcare field. Our organization used to have only 4 staff with an average age of around 60. They have recently hired 3 new staff, myself included, who are much younger. An unspoken divide has emerged between the, quote, old guard and the, quote, new guard. The old guard has an attitude of, we've done it this way for years, therefore we won't change, whereas us new guard have ideas for change that would hopefully improve the quality of the care we offer to children. The older staff are also worried that we have been brought in to replace them and force them into unwind retirement. How can I navigate this tricky situation? I want to honor the decades of experience my seniors have, but there are aspects of our organization that definitely need to change to meet the needs of 21st century families. Sincerely, New Guard in Northern Ireland.
Wow, that's a very robust question. So if I understand correctly, what we've got here is we've got a 2 factions, the senior faction who is saying we've done it forever this way and it works. And then the junior faction saying, well, why don't we try some new things? Because life has moved on.
Yeah.
And she is trying to bridge this in a way so she is not threatening to the more senior people and she wants to bring them into the fold.
We Correct? Think.
Yeah. Okay. So my advice to her would be, first of all, win them over with kindness in the sense that, look, they do have experience. So where is that experience most salient? So I would start with that and say, look, you have been doing, you, as you have said, you have been doing this work for years. What are the lessons learned that are most salient to what we need to do here? And then I would pose to them the newer situations. Now, here's some of the things that are coming up that didn't exist then. How do you propose we do that? Or, by the way, I have some ideas as well, but I'd like to hear from you first, and I'd like to build off of those things. My point is, if you can come in there with some humility as a supplicant and draw from what their own experiences and build upon them, you will get less resistance from them. Because what you're doing is you're acknowledging where they are good and what we will use, and then where the situation has changed, and what are some fresh ideas that might align with how to handle those situations. So I think what we're doing is we're taking care of both of those in a conversation and a dialogue. You're never saying one's better than the other. Now, this issue, the side issue of threatening their jobs, I think if you are, as I said, if you set this up properly, I don't think they'll see you as threatening. I think they'll see you as part of the team. What I would say.
I love it. Okay. All right.
Artificial intelligence have to say? Right, what does Hal the computer have to say?
You know, there's a whole bunch of people listening that have no idea who you're talking about. You're talking about Hal. People, it's the computer that took over the world in Space Odyssey 2001. All right. So here's what ChatGPT said. They gave 4 or 5 things to do. They said, build relationships. Take the time to get to know your colleagues, both the old guard and the new guard. Listen to their perspectives, experiences, and share your own. This will help build trust, respect, and create a foundation for working together, which you kind of said.
I said it better, but yes.
You said it better. The second thing Chat says is be respectful. It's important to respect the expertise and experience of the old guard. Acknowledge their contributions and the value of their insights. Try to frame your suggestions for changes, additions to rather than replacements for the old guard.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah. Wow.
All right. I know their Chat's going to put us on the job. All right. Communicate clearly. Is their third one. When proposing changes, be clear about why they are needed and how they will benefit the organization and the children in your care. Be prepared to listen to concerns and answer their questions.
I like that. That's a nice addition.
Okay, you like that one? Yeah. So no, Chat won, Chris won.
No, I give that over to Chat, but I think that's good.
Right. Number 4, collaborate. Seek out opportunities to collaborate with the old guard. Identify areas where your strengths and expertise can complement theirs and work together to create solutions. I think you kind of said that.
I think I kind of said that as well, but I like that to collaborate. Yeah. They're almost coming up with an acronym here. Communicate, collaborate.
Oh, we could ask Chat come up with acronyms. I love it. Yeah. And the last one, which is a little cheesy, celebrate successes. When changes are made, and improvements are seen. Celebrate them as a team. Recognize the contributions of all staff members and benefits of working together towards a common goal.
Yeah, I like that too. You know, celebrate is a good one. By the way, another C. I think this machine is going for its own little, you know.
This machine's going for our jobs, Chris DeSantis.
I thought these answers were very good. And what I don't think I would ever say to somebody is communicate effectively. You know what I'm saying? Like some of this stuff is, if I say to another person, you know what you need to do? You need to communicate effectively. And they're going to look at me, I know I need to do that. Why are you even saying that? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Some of these are, what's interesting about the machine is what is assumptive in how we have a dialogue is literal in how they tell it to us.
That is very, very true. And all I did was put in the question and it came out.
Wow, it was good. That was good answers.
It was fun, right?
Was there anything you would have added?
Let me think. I think I would have said generational differences are normal. And to, you know, your goal is to try to learn what things look like from their perspective. I think what Chat didn't pick up on was how do we reduce the feeling that the old guard feels threatened by the new guard?
Yes.
I don't know if they, so I'm not quite sure how to do that other than building those relationships. So that, you know,
because a strict answer from the chat could come off as patronizing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think there's an opportunity to do some mentoring and reverse mentoring here.
Yes.
And the other thing I might say that chat didn't say is, you know, if this really is a divide, I think it would behoove you to bring it to the attention of the powers that be, because I think there's a great opportunity here for the organization to have a really nice conversation around how do we navigate generational differences, a framework for building this, because it's what you do all the time in organizations, right?
Well, I think I would name it not necessarily general, but about inclusivity, and this is an aspect of inclusivity that is not normally addressed. Maybe we should.
Yeah.
Maybe the organization should embrace this.
Yeah.
So I like that. By the way, you're keeping your job. I'm at risk now because this.
We'll wait till we ask them about managing up, and I'm sure that we will do that. You can do that to me. You know, the last thing I'll say, and new guard's going to kill me, is your dream job is childcare? Really?
She's in Ireland.
God bless you, my girl. God bless you, because I think I would probably have to put a fork in my eye after day one.
Oh, I don't know. Some people just have the gift.
Some people do have the gift. And now that children aren't wonderful, they are. But yeah, I and we need people who love working with children. So I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
And New Guard, I'm coming in. I'll be in Belfast in the last week in August. I'm very excited. I'm trying to get my husband to go to Derry. I don't think we'll go that far north, but I'm very excited for my Ireland trip. The Emerald Isle.
Oh, that's fun. That'll be fun.
I know. I can't wait.
Hey, by the way, thank you, Ireland.
Thank you so much. Keep listening. All right. Are you ready for round? So I think round one was a tie between you and Chad.
Yeah, close enough. Although I think they had some interesting things to say. But again, it's absent of the human touch.
Absent the human touch.
AKA and me.
ChatGPT didn't write a book on generations, but you, my friend,
did not. Did not.
All right. So are you ready for question number two?
I am.
Okay. Question number two. This is from Vigilant in Virginia. Dear Mary and Chris, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom on the Cubicle Confidential podcast. I enjoy listening to you on my 30-minute commute to work, and I find great use of the insight you both share. Well, you're welcome, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that she called it the Cubicle Confidential podcast. I currently serve as an executive assistant for the vice president / chief of staff who works in tandem with the CEO and president of the institution. I've been in the organization for less than a year, 8 months to be exact, and based on my observations, I'll attest that my supervisor's style fits the qualities and the characteristics of, quote unquote, the advancer. I'm anxious about the annual performance review as this will be my first full year at the organization. I have kept a running list of projects that I've accomplished, both small and large tasks and weekend evening events that I've staffed outside of my normal working hours. My personal leadership style leans towards the harmonizer. My question is, how can the quote advancer and the quote harmonizer meet in the middle, especially during a performance review? Thank you for your help, Vigilant in Virginia. So before you answer that, let me just make sure everyone understands what we mean by the advancer and the harmonizer.
Yes, that's
she
what I was going
to ask
you. She
clearly has read my book.
I know. Right? Wow.
So advancer bosses, listeners, are bosses who are very fast-paced and task-oriented. They're very direct in communication. It's like, let's just get it done, do it, and let's do the next thing. So it's a very driving sort of a leadership style. It's what have you done for me lately? The harmonizer is much more of a moderately paced person, much more people-oriented. So the harmonizer wants to create harmony, like it's like the S in the disc, wants to create harmony, wants people to be human and humane to each other, and is kind of the good soldier, just wants it to have a nice but organized and productive workplace.
So are you ready for me? I got them now.
Well I
like that the attention that this person is paying to who their boss is. And I also like that this person is going to some detail into reviewing what they have accomplished over the course of the year. So all we're really dealing with, in my opinion, is we're dealing with how to frame what you are doing to your boss in a way that's most palatable to them.
Nice.
So what you would do is you would pretend yourself as an advancer and say, what would an advancer want to hear about the way I operate? And then you would sort of, you would step away from your harmonizing tendencies in that particular meeting. It is not that you shouldn't be a harmonizer, but rather bring forward the aspect that aligns better with what he wants to hear the way he wants to hear it. And then at the end of that, then you can, once he's, then you basically what he's going to do, he's going to say a few words about it and then bring back the harmonizer that you are and being appreciative of what he has done on your behalf and all of those things. And then, of course, get out of that room. Less time with him is better because that's what he wants from you.
Oh, Chris DeSantis, I'm giving you a standing ovation. I think that is, sorry, I just hit my mic. I was so excited, people. I think that was perfection. I think you're gonna beat Chat
on
this one.
Oh no. Let's see.
So Chat. Okay, so Chat starts out and says it's great that you've identified your supervisor's leadership style and your own preferred style and that you're keeping track of your accomplishments throughout the year. That's great. And then here are some tips, Chat says, to keep you prepared. One, understand each other's styles. I think they already did that, right?
Yeah.
You know, but
redundant.
But he didn't. But you said present your information in the style that your boss wants to hear. Yeah. Chat didn't say that, so that's one for you, zero for Chat. Yeah. Highlight your accomplishments during performance review. Be sure to highlight blah 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 and concrete examples. You said that. They said that. We already know she did it. Highlight, identify areas for growth. Oh yeah, you didn't get that one. Chat has that one on you.
I wouldn't go there.
You wouldn't go there. Okay.
Not in this room, not with him at this time.
Interesting.
He's looking at the high level of everything. What did you do? What did you do? What did you do for me? What did you do for me? And but when you say, what didn't you do for me? What didn't you? All of a sudden, that's going to stand out to him. You see what I'm saying?
You know what? I agree with you. I think instead of like saying your areas for where you could improve, I think instead what you say, here are some areas I want to expand into.
Yeah, that I can help you best more with.
Like, here are some things I want to get better at and do more of, because that's what the advancer wants to hear. So I say zero for Chat on that. The fourth thing Chat says is find common ground. Look for areas where your style overlap and complement each other. Why would you be bringing that up?
Remember I said at the end, you can revert back to by using what is your gift to show appreciation for what he has done so far in this, you know.
Yeah, I think Chat's losing on this one. The fifth one is good. Be open to feedback during the performance review. Be open to feedback from your supervisor. Listen actively and ask questions to clarify any points you don't understand. Even if you don't agree with the feedback and receive it, be receptive to use it as an opportunity for growth and development. Yeah, so I mean, that's just standard.
That's normal.
Well, that's standard. You're going to say that to anybody. That has nothing to do with the advanced or harmonizer.
Yeah.
I don't know, listeners, if what you think, but I'm giving this one to Chris DeSantis.
Going with me too. Man over machine.
I thought you really zeroed in on the advanced or harmonizer dynamic, which, just so people know, and like the work style preferences, these are exact opposites. And I think when you said like you gotta present your information in the manner that your boss likes to hear it, which is succinct, to the point, you know, results. I think the only thing I would add is try to really quantify your results.
Oh, that's
like,
a good
you know,
point.
Use some numbers. Like we,
right.
I'm an advancer. Like I want to hear that you increase our social media by 25%. 25%. Oh my God, that's amazing. So that's really what. And yeah, so that's the only thing. That's the only thing I would add to yours.
No, that was good. By the way, if he does say, I would add this too, just for, because I don't know what was going to happen in this dialogue. But if he does say you did something great, you know, that really sort of resonated with him, my advice is ask for something.
Say more.
Well, he says, oh, you know, you did a really nice job on this last thing where you bumped us up 20%, whatever the thing was. Well, the reason I was able to do that is because you gave me this, whatever this is, the opportunity to, you know, decide my own, how this is done, get the opportunity to meet the clients as I felt like I could meet them, the opportunity being kept up to date on everything that's happening. My point would be, what do you want from this person that they can supply you? Because what you're doing is you're being Pavlovian. You're saying to them, if you give me this, you'll get that. So find a success and ask for something.
I like it. When you're the inside of what you said, though, what is also buried in there is you kind of are complimenting your boss and your success. Like you're actually sharing the credit. You're actually saying, I was able to do this because you're a great boss. And I'm telling you, advancers love that.
Well, it's also, but not only a great boss, but this is a great behavior of the boss.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You want this behavior.
Yeah. I love it.
How about that ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Take that ChatGPT.
Chris DeSantis took chat to the woodshed. I love it. All right. One more chance. So it's the first one was a tie.
I think it's a tie. I'll go with the tie in the first one.
The second one, you definitely won. Yeah. And let's see about the third one. Chris DeSantis or ChatGPT. This question is from Upset Applecart in Alexandria. Dear Cubicle, I've been a regular volunteer for many years at a local nonprofit that helps feed the food insecure. Most of us regular volunteers are retired women like me. It's been a wonderful, quote, job, and the volunteer director has been great at organizing us into a well-oiled machine. The problem? In the last year or so, we've had an influx of retired men join our ranks. And truth be told, they are impossible. They are bossy, rude, and argumentative. They constantly disparage the way we do things. In general, they are making everybody miserable. Now our well-oiled machine is an unpleasant clunker. I'm not sure the volunteer director is strong enough to stand up to them. I'm very attached to this organization and I don't want to quit, but I am at a loss as to how to keep them from upsetting the entire apple cart. Help. Signed, Upset Applecart in Alexandria.
Wow, this is tough.
You know, I love this question because you know that for me, this is all about bossy men, but keep going.
No, I know. It's the problem is essence is they're volunteers.
Yeah.
And so when you have volunteers, you really don't have much of a, you know, a carrot or a stick to do with these. They just have to choose to do it. So I think she's got to go on a charm offensive. I think if these are older men, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, who are always thinking about sex every 11 seconds anyway, I think what she's got to do a little more charm relative to this, and not this is how we've done it here, but I would rather than do that to them, because they'll hate that, you would say, here's what we're trying to accomplish, and this is the reaction we've been getting when we do it this way. Any thoughts on how to do it in any other ways that might get the same reaction? My point would be, question, use the Socratic method to question them into the process that you're using, as opposed to telling them what they're doing. Because if you say, hey, you're not doing this right, or you're being grumpy, or you're doing this badly, or you're irritable, that is not going to change any of the behaviors. What you want to do is say, bring them up to the challenge of what you're trying to accomplish and say, this is the way we've been doing it. It's getting good reactions. Anything to enhance that would build on that. And again, leverage the charm every time. And I would bring everyone there, every woman there, quite frankly, who could say, get in on the program, you know, meet them separately and say, we got to woo these guys to get them to do what we want them to do. And we got to tell them that they're doing something valuable because men's egos are so frail. And so every time we'd see them doing something right, we've got to say, oh my God, Ernie, that was great. Ernie. And so my point would be flatter them into the role you want them to be a part of.
Interesting. All
very
right.
Machiavellian.
Very Machiavellian. Well, ChatGPT went in a whole another direction. All right. They gave 5 points. First of all, speak with a volunteer director. Schedule a meeting with that person to discuss your concern. Explain how the influx of new volunteers, particularly the men, has affected group dynamics and morale. Make sure you share some examples. Number two, set clear expectations. As a group, establish clear expectations for volunteer behavior and communication. This could include guidelines for how to provide feedback or suggestions and rules around respectful communication. Number three, Chris, people, you can't see the, but Chris is laughing. Number three, offer mentorship. As a longtime volunteer, you have valuable experience to share with newer volunteers. Offer to mentor the new volunteers.
No.
Yeah, because these bossy men are really up for being mentored. Seek feedback. Consider seeking feedback from the new volunteers about their experiences with the organization. This could help you better understand their perspectives and identify areas for improvement. You could also, actually like this, you could also consider asking feedback from the people you serve to ensure their needs are being met despite any internal challenges.
Like that I like.
That I like. Like before we change everything, or let's experiment, but we're also going to, you know, our goal here is to serve our people. And number five, be patient and kind. Remember that everybody is coming from different backgrounds and experiences. Try to approach the situation with patience and kindness. Seek to understand where the new volunteers are coming from and offer support and encouragement when possible. I just threw up in my mouth, little bit.
That was the platitudes for days.
Oh my God. Dear. All right. So I'm going to say I'm giving this to neither one of you.
What? I am correct in this.
I say you stand up to those men and you say, listen here, motherfuckers. Like, we know what we're doing. Like, who do you think you are to come in and upset the apple cart like this? I think volunteers, you decide to take that job. I don't care if you're not getting paid. There's processes that we do. There are ways that we do things. There's processes for making changes. There's clear expectations about how we're going to treat each other. And I think that training director needs to take control of this situation and have a talking to these men. We want you and open to your ideas, and here's the process for making suggestions. So I'm giving this one to me.
No, I see your point. But again, volunteers, and the other thing I'm having...
here's where we disagree, though. I think volunteers can be treated just like employees. They chose, as adults, to enter into an agreement for work. And so I think that just because they're volunteers, not having hard conversations with them, I don't buy it.
Oh, no, I'm happy to have a hard conversation eventually, but I'm not absolutely convinced that they're all irritable and then this is a wonderful situation. I'm convinced that she's very happy in the world that she lives in the cocoon of her world. I'm convinced of that. And it is a really nice familial feel with these. And these are outsiders and they're all grumpy. Interestingly enough, all the men are grumpy. So in that sense, there's a sort of like...
she said they were rude and bossy and argumentative, and which is not grumpy.
No, but they it's as if they all got off the same bus and, you know, they're saying, okay.
They did.
Know.
They're all men. Like, I totally, like, this triggered femaleness. Like, I
totally
know exactly what's going on with her. They have a nice little pleasant thing and a bunch of men come in and say, we can do this better. And I'm sure they're mansplaining and man interrupting her.
I think the possibility exists, but my point would be all of them are this way. My point is, I think she's seeing, she's generalizing to a great degree here, and she's not really leveraging what she can do to change them. She wants them to change, but she's not leveraging fully how she can change them with her ability to woo them or to get them slowly into the direction she wants to go. I think the best way, I like this. I don't know if I'd go to the boss right away. I don't know. I don't mind bringing that forward, but I do like the idea of going to the clients right away and say, have them tell them, you know, some kind of meeting. What does this organization mean to you? What is it about this organization that you so value? Why is it you value that? That sort of starts to permeate like, okay, that's how we act with them. Or, you know what I'm saying? It informs how I will act.
Yeah. I'm giving it to me though, because here's the thing. I do think that if there is a disruption in the culture of the workplace, then I think the volunteer director needs to address it, because you and I both know that almost all organizational malfunction happens because somebody didn't give somebody else feedback or nip something in the bud. So I do think that if there is chaos or there is dysfunction going on, I need to think it needs to be addressed. But you know what we're going to do? Yeah, we're going to ask. We're going to ask our producer to chat us. Who won this round? Was it Chat? Was it Chris? Or was it Mary Abjay with, well, listen here, motherfuckers?
I know. Mary's all of a sudden Mary's in the contest because she's got an answer. Unbelievable. She can't play. She saw the answer.
I didn't like anybody's answers because I was triggered. My feminism self was triggered.
I know. You
all right, were let's good. See. Let's see. I think
I'm on the side of the grumpy old
I
man.
I think we have the chat. So our producer, all he said was chat lost. So
I'm with that. Chat lost. You know, I think Mary's point is that, and I give too much slack to volunteers.
Yeah.
And I think Mary's point is if you volunteered, you took on the risk. Yeah. You said you'd do this job.
Yeah.
And they should be treated like people who do the job. Yeah. So that there's that.
Basically it. Oh, that was an exciting one.
That was good.
All right.
So this chat thing was good. Yeah.
Chat, thank you very much. It came out of laziness. So let me say this just to recap everybody. Chat lost.
Yeah, yeah. Although they do have some interest. You know what chat is good for? Here's what chat is really good for. And Mary used the word trigger. It triggers your thinking around this. Say, okay, that's interesting. That's a starting point, or this that is, I could use. So when you're going to write something, and this is a good way, pose the questions to chat, and it'll give you sort of an inkling as to what are some of the things to consider. But it doesn't necessarily give you the human insights, I think, that really distinguish one view. You know,
I think you're right.
A person's view.
I think you're right. Oh, our producer just said, Chris took chat to the mat. Yeah, baby.
Chat to the mat.
And you know what else we're taking to the mat? The end of this podcast. The end of this episode.
Done.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, ChatGPT, for playing our little game. Thank you to our amazing, overworked, underpaid producer, Mr. Jack Ettinger. Just so you know, Jack, chat's coming for your job, too. If you have a workplace question or cubicle dilemma, don't call chat, call us.
Yes.
You can find us via LinkedIn, Krista Sanchez or Mary Abjay. You can old school email us to info@cubicleconfidential.com, or you can tweet us at @cubicleconfide1. People, we are easy to find and we are funnier than chat. So until next week, we want you to work hard, be kind, beware of those power dynamics, and if you can't,
call us.
Thank you. See you next week.